back with you again for another edition of the news on Drinks Adventures. Coming up this week, ASX-listed Top Shelf International bullish on Australian agave spirits, Mighty Craft invests heavily in whiskey, and James Squire puts a new spin on zero alcohol beer. ASX-listed spirits company Top Shelf International has delivered on the revenue and earnings forecasts tabled in its December 2020 initial public offering. Top Shelf, the company behind Ned Whiskey, Grain Shaker Vodka, and the Australian Agave Project in Queensland, reported a loss of $6.1 million and revenue of $20 million for the financial year ended June 30. According to Chief Executive Drew Fairchild, Top Shelf is clearly the largest and fastest growing Australian spirits company.
We are the fastest growing whiskey. We're the fastest growing Australian vodka. At the half, we had $270 million in net sales value in hand of our inventory. We are the largest in terms of whiskey and the largest in terms of vodka distillation capacity, and of course, the only and the largest agave player, one that is globally relevant with a production capacity to put us into the top 25 in the world.
By April 2021, Top Shelf had planted 216,000 agaves at its farm in the Whitsundays. And Fairchild said the company is on track to begin production of agave spirit in the second half of the 2023 calendar year. Top Shelf recently announced the Agave Project will be headed up by Trent Fraser, formerly of Moët Hennessy Louis Vuitton, who in 4 years built Vulcan Tequila to be among the top five super premium tequila brands in the world. Fraser said the Australian Agave Project is an immense opportunity for Top Shelf.
The strongest endorsement I can give you is, in fact, actually in my own actions. I wouldn't uproot my personal and professional life if I didn't think this opportunity would work. I had a pretty good job in life in New York, but this new frontier of an Australian agave with the TSI team, it's just far too powerful and promising. I'd absolutely kick myself and regret not getting on a plane to come home.
Originally from Adelaide, Fraser spent a number of years at Penfolds Wines prior to heading up the Dom Perignon champagne brand for LVMH in the US between 2008 and 2015.
After doubling that business, I was asked to go and build a tequila brand with a very wealthy Mexican family in 2015. So it's pretty fair to say I've been here before and I have done it. It took us a couple of years to get up and running. In 2017, we launched, won a bunch of awards, both for liquid and design, met sales targets, most importantly, and I'm very proud just to leave a great brand legacy behind.
Fraser believes there is significant export potential for Australian agave spirits in North America, where tequila and mezcal are currently on fire.
We look at it as like a truly regional, Australian expressive and terroir-driven liquid, which will play into the cues of the category, but equally offer a unique and differentiating appeal. We always make the reference internally a lot to wine. It took a little bit of time for people to understand that great wine can be made outside of France, and we all know that it can. And I think very quickly people are going to realise the same thing about agave. So hopefully, Drew also mentioned about, hopefully you're a little bit aware of the agronomy team's unbelievable work. It's unparalleled in terms of its science and its approach. And it's nurturing. It would definitely provide us with a much brighter, richer and advanced liquid to work with. I could go on for hours about this, but I'll try to sort of wrap it up a little bit. Just in summary, humbly, I only think this will work. Not only will it work, but, you know, I think we'll compete with the very best of them on the global stage.
Also on the ASX, craft beverage accelerator Mighty Craft has reported a $9.8 million loss on the back of $29.3 million revenue. Chief Executive Mark Haseman said highlights included the successful launch of the Seven Seasons Spirits range, which you should be familiar with from our interview with founder Daniel Motlop on the Drinks Adventures podcast earlier this year.
We officially launched that in March, April. So our Indigenous-backed business with Daniel Motlop and his family owning a stake in that has hit the ground running, and looks like it's going to be a great brand for us going forward. Kangaroo Island Distillery as well, so we're upgrading that, probably nearly 70% through that upgrade, and about to relaunch the Kangaroo Island Spirits brand in October this year. On the back of the new still going in on Kangaroo Island, where we'll have a dedicated whiskey still of some size. We'll be launching the Kangaroo Island whisky expression in the new year. But prior to that, we'll be launching Hidden Lake, which is an ultra-premium luxury brand out of Tasmania.
Haseman said Mighty Craft is now one of Australia's largest independent craft spirits producers, following the acquisition of Adelaide Hills Group, including distiller 78 Degrees, announced in June. Mighty Craft's current whisky inventory is valued at $20 million, Haseman said, and it will soon have a portfolio of whiskies spread across different price points.
So there'll be 78 Degrees and the Australian whisky there that sits at sort of $85 to $95. It's going to go head-to-head with entry-level sort of premium whisky, so that should get a very strong footprint in the market. And then obviously it has its more premium expression at, you know, the native grain weeping grass, which sits at $400 to $450 a bottle. Then you overlay Kangaroo Island spirits, that'll sit in sort of that $120 to $150 range as well. And then as we come through up into Hidden Lake, that's going to be certainly more high-end, limited availability of stock. It's going to be probably more in the order of $150 to $250 range, and then upwards of $300, even up to $400 in terms of the expressions there, given the quality of the actual product and how that's aged and matured.
Lion-owned craft beer brand James Squire has entered the alcohol-free segment with James Squire Zero. There's no base beer style declared on the label, but Lion chief brewer Idris Jammer says the intention was to make a full-flavoured premium lager, just with zero alcohol content. Most James Squire beers start out being brewed on a smaller scale at the Malt Shovel Brewery in Camperdown. But this one was created at the Tooheys Brewery in Lidcombe, where Lion has recently invested $6 million on a de-alcoholising plant.
It is a change from how we normally do things. That's really because of the plant and equipment you need to do to get down to 0.0 in alcohol concentration. 0.5 beers can be brewed, you know, at places like Malt Shovel, you know, without having special plant and equipment, just by controlling fermentation and the like. But we bought a special de-alkalizing plant from Germany to enable us to remove alcohol from a beer once we've brewed one. So, yes, and we've only got one of them because they're pretty expensive. And so we put it out at Lidcombe, I think it was last November, we got it sort of installed. And then we've been sort of working on it since to get it up and running this year. The key thing is with this method, it's been around for a little bit longer. There are newer methods available to do the same thing, you know, remove alcohol from a brewed beer. This method is a sort of thermal distillation approach.
I noticed looking at the ingredients that it mentions, there's malt extract and hop extract. Maybe you could just tell us a little bit about how the beer was made.
What we do is you make a lager, you take the ethanol out of the lager using an evaporator, but then we add some hop essences back into the beer to ensure that we can deliver the balanced flavour that we're looking for. Because using the evaporator, you can lose some of the hop notes. So we want to make sure we put those hop notes back in there. And the malt extract, which is completely natural and made from malt, we use that as well to make sure we balance the body that we want in the beer as well.
Was there much of a conversation around, you know, this beer, it needs to be zero, it can't be 0.5, because I think it probably is quite unique among most of the non-alcoholic, in inverted commas, beers that are in the craft segment, at least, in that a lot of them are kind of 0.5 or maybe even a little bit higher than that, 0.9 or something like that. Was it Lion's belief that it really needed to be absolutely nothing, zero?
I just think they're just different parts of that segment. Some consumers are after a 0.0, and that can open up to different consumers as well who are looking to completely avoid any alcohol. And, you know, and some consumers, you know, are happy with 0.5. And, you know, I think you need to offer something for both types of consumer. So really that's what it was about. I think the benefit of using this sort of technology versus making a sort of normal 0.5 is, I think it is, overall a better taste in beer, because you've made a full-strength beer, if you like, or you've made a normal beer, and then you've taken the alcohol out, as opposed to not making a beer, with a normal alcohol content to start with, which does give you a different flavour balance and characteristics.
That's all for today. See you again next Tuesday for another full-length episode. Have a great weekend.